And I thought we could start our kind of open up our talk, ladies, by just beginning with sort of some of the myths that are out there about domestic violence. I mean, it's been now a good long time that the phrase domestic violence has been in use. It's been a while of consciousness raising and so on happening, but I feel probably pretty secure in saying that there's still a lot of misconceptions around what the issues are, what causes domestic violence, who suffers, you know, whose fault is it, and all of those things. I just wondered if you could kind of tell us a little bit in your travels and the work that you do, if you could give us some examples. What's some of the stuff that unfortunately still persists as things people believe to be true about domestic violence?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
We're all about the loaded question, right, here on Stereo.
Some of the myths would be that domestic violence is just a man-woman thing, you know, and it's not just a man-woman thing, and that it doesn't just happen in heterosexual relationships. It's a people thing, and that domestic violence, people want to say it is only targeted to people that are maybe in low income or in urban cities. But, you know, domestic violence does not discriminate. It doesn't care who you are, what you do, domestic violence affects everyone. And it doesn't just affect the couple that's in the relationship. It affects if there's children there. Mm-hmm. It affects the support network. Mm-hmm. It affects everyone. It affects your health. It affects everything. I don't know if you want to say anything.
I would say I agree a great deal with what Melissa was just saying. It is definitely true, working at a gay, lesbian, bi, trans organization, that we hear all the time that why would we need to have this system of support for GLBT people? Mm. And actually, domestic violence happens in the GLBT communities at the same rate as in heterosexual domestic violence, which would be about 25% to 33%. And I think that a myth that's out there also within the communities is that it doesn't happen in our community. No one wants to think about it happening in our community.
It's everybody says, somebody else's problem.
Right.
And that's definitely not the case. I mean, for me, being an advocate, you could get a call on anything, you know, and there's trends that somewhat happened, you know, during the holidays and things like that, or when it gets really nice outside, then it seems like there's like an influx of incidents that happen, and then it dies down, and it's sort of like this wave that happens, and so you gotta definitely be on your toes. You know, because you just never know what's going to happen, because every day it's different. Mm-hmm. Every day you may be faced with something that you're like, I don't even know. You know, but it's good that there's advocates and there's networks like La Red, which we can bridge those gaps, bridge those bridges together, so we can work in collaboration with each other. Because I may have someone that walked through the door that's transgender, and I may not necessarily know how to best advocate for this person, but I know that I could turn to Sabrina, and let me call Sabrina and be like, Sabrina, do you know what I can do in this instance? So it's about really building collaboratives with each other, because it's not, you know, domestic violence, like I said before, it affects everything and affects everyone. And so it's not just, you know, a man is an island. It's about everything.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I've found happening over time that has been really positive is that I think as we you know, as communities, we get more aware of how much culture plays a role in what happens in a particular neighborhood and a particular family. We've been able to tailor the organizations that are out there a little more specifically. So I'm thinking, for example, I know that there are organizations that are specifically for Latinas who are dealing with issues of domestic violence. I know that there is an Asian Pacific organization. Mm-hmm. I can't remember
Asian
their
task
name.
Force.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, so that there's folks that are connecting in your own language. You know, there was a time, I think, when we were still kind of young in this whole field where you pretty much were kind of up a creek in terms of getting any sort of help if you didn't speak English or if you came from another way of looking at things. Certainly, if you were queer, you know, if you were cross-dresser, Wow. I think that we hope, I would like to hope anyway, that we've come a little bit farther from that.
I'm glad you said that when you talked about culture, because I think that plays a huge part in when you talk about domestic violence, because you want to be culturally competent and culturally sensitive to anybody that walks through your door. And so it's about understanding where everybody's coming from. Because, you know, not everybody isn't the same, but once you have an understanding of what this culture does, because in some cultures, something I may not think is right may be right in another culture. Mm-hmm. So it's being able to, you have to be able to understand, have some type of understanding of the different cultures that there are.
Can you give us an example of something?
Oh, Lord.
Well, I actually can jump in on that.
Thank you.
A form of abuse that we talk about a great deal in the GLBT communities that's true to any specific culture is something we call cultural identity abuse. Mm-hmm. And that's any abuse that's usually focused against a marginalized group of some sort, and it's usually around identity. And it can be things, tactics like preventing the survivor from having connections to their own community, being able to speak their own language at home around the batterer, being able to threatening around identity. So threatening to out someone who may not be able to be out in their job, with their family, in their community. So all these pieces, I think, are types of control that batterers use to control survivors.
Mm. Right. Definitely. Thank you, Serena. Yeah, because it's that whole power control type thing that happens in relationships.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? No, because really, power and control, I think that's the right. That's the key here. And a lot of people just don't see that, you know, domestic violence, isn't that just like, you know, like I beat up on my significant other because, mm-hmm. you know, he or she bothers me.
Can I jump in?
Yes.
So the network, we define domestic violence as a pattern of control where one person is trying to control the thoughts, beliefs, and or the actions of someone close to them. And by that definition, only one person has that control. So in that case, we also don't say have what you can. Some people will actually common myth is that mutual abuse happens, that both parties are at fault. And by that definition of one person being in control, you can't really have something that's mutual, which is different from saying if you have a survivor that defends themselves with a physical action, that's not mutual abuse. That's a defensive action. And I think that a lot of what folks think around domestic violence is only the physical aspects.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that. So if you talk about one party holding all of the power and controlling the other one, then that clearly can include things that are not physical.
Definitely.
Right? It's a little bit more
Yeah, the main categories that we talk about are emotional, physical, sexual, financial abuse, and cultural identity abuse. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also what makes it hard for people to understand why someone doesn't just leave. And mm-hmm. I say that in quotes, mm-hmm. just leave. Because the layers of control and manipulation are just so intense and controlling that I think a lot of survivors spend so much time just trying to survive mm-hmm. in that relationship that being able to think about how to get out of that relationship, and then who wants to believe this person that you love and care about would be doing this by choice? And right. I think that's a hard thing for people to come to terms with.
And then if you are able to come to terms with that, there may just be so many practical hurdles to get over at that point. I was just thinking when you were saying financial abuse, that's not a category that naturally springs to mind to someone like me that, you know, isn't working in the field. But I imagine that's, you know, being the person who controls all of the couple's money.
Right.
If I need to get some, you know, cash for some sort of thing,
you got to go through somebody else. So it's just like, if I bring home the check and this is a domestic violence relationship, I'm going to tell you what you can buy.
Uh-huh.
You have to come back to me and tell me I need to see the receipt. If you say, oh, I need, you know, I need some shoes, where are the shoes? How much are they? So it's like I'm controlling everything that you do. And I think, and, you know, when you talk about what the myths is, a lot of people only think that domestic violence, when they hear the word domestic violence, they only think physical. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just like Sabrina was saying, it's so much, it's deeper than that and so much more than that. You know, the wounds that last the most are the emotional, you know, are the verbal abuse. It's not just the physical, you know, I think that's just something that people just really need to understand and realize that, you know, domestic violence is not just a physical thing.
And we also know that when a survivor tries to leave the relationship, that can be actually the most dangerous time.
Yes.
So beyond the being in love with the partner and the layers of control and then ability to leave, if they have money, do they have a place to go to, will they have a support system, there's also the risk that the violence could get much worse. Mm-hmm. And we do find that abusers will take steps that they may not have taken in during the relationship when they see the risk of losing the partner.
Mm. Exactly. And it takes the individual in the relationship, it takes them more than 7 times to leave completely, to leave fully, because it's a lot of back and forth that goes, because you go through all these different emotions, like, should I, shouldn't I? You know, if you have children in the mix, well, I want my child to have another parent there. Uh-huh. You know, you have money. How am I going to get by? How am I going to get groceries? You know, where am I going to stay? And it's like all these different things.
So 7 times, that's like the average for...
No, that it takes some... I don't even want to say, like, put numbers on it, but it takes an individual more than... Am I correct? Is it 7?
I don't know the 7 reference that you're making. But definitely we've experienced people going back many times. And
right.
I think it also speaks to the amount of support and resources that are out there. You know, when you're faced with, do I go into a shelter or do I go stay at a friend's house on their couch? And then what do I do if I have children? How do I keep them in school and give them stability? All these things together, I think, make it more difficult. And let's face it, people have children and whose batter is the partner or the parent, a co-parent, they're never really going to be completely able to separate from their partner because there's a legal custody of children they'll have to deal with on an ongoing basis.
Okay. Wow. And so do you run into situations where your position is the director of organizing and education, Sabrina, so maybe this doesn't affect you so much in your own direct work, but do you end up perhaps providing references for getting the legal aspects taken care of? I would imagine that, you know, in terms of like custody battles and so on, that could get pretty ugly.
Oh, definitely. And I actually have worked as an advocate also, so I do I've had experience with that. And to be honest, the network is a small organization, so we all chip in and we all do the advocacy also.
Everybody does.